The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Tonight, the fallout from the Ben Barber positive drugs test. We'll hear from their CEO, Lyle Gorman, plus some rugby league player movement. Australia's cricket team further decimated with a third player to miss the Hobart test. And Mark Bosnich is in, so we'll talk a little bit of football.
Welcome to the Rush Hour.
Yes, good afternoon. Hello, Boz.
Good evening, Dan. How are you?
Okay, we got
How's
happy
Triple M?
Boz today.
I haven't been here for ages.
What, about 2 weeks?
Wow, that's okay.
Hang on,
ages
the last time you doctored it, you put out a wild claim that you could have played Sheffield Shield cricket and you organised
behalf. I did not at all. Craig Matthews, thank you very much. I did not.
So do you want to set
and
anything in motion
say,
now?
I didn't say Sheffield Shield. I said Test cricket. Come on. Sheffield Shield was a given.
Any wild claim you want to make, which you can get someone to ring up?
Not at all. I don't think there's any wild claim right now at this moment in time that I want to make, other than the fact that... Actually, you know what? Right now, after the last test, I could probably still play Test cricket for Australia. There you go. How's that one? There you go.
Put you get cranky down. When they don't do well.
Oh, it was ridiculous because I followed them ever since I've been a kid, and I went through all those bad periods in the mid-'80s when we were losing to New Zealand and things like that, when Chappell, Lilly and Marsh retired, and then I saw them come back. And then by the time when I was in England, they hardly lost up until 2005 when we lost that wonderful series.
And then you came back to Australia.
And then I came back to Australia. It's called the pot again. I'm at fault. I'm the hex. Everything I've touched has not gone to gold. It's gone to, well, we'll say bronze.
Let's talk Ben Barber after this. It is the Rush Hour at Triple M. We do it for Sportsbet racing form.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Triple M, it is the Rush Hour. On a Tuesday night, Boz here with Dan.
How are you, Dan?
I'm wondering what we do this time tomorrow because I think...
Dan, can I ask you a favour, please? You know, so have you got anything to bring to the table? I know there's a tradition of yours with your best friend PM, Paul Murray.
Oh, yes.
To sit at home, one of your homes, and watch the elections. Can I invite myself, please, tomorrow?
Bloody oath you can.
Oh, thank you very
much.
Are
you okay with cigar smoke small apartment?
Yeah, well, the Bozo likes his cigars, doesn't he?
Oh, you're in.
There you go.
Well, we're trying to work out. There's every chance tomorrow night. What do we do
if
this election is still up in the air at 6 p.m.?
Well, I think we do the show from your house. Why?
Then we're a sports show.
What if it goes like the one in 2000 and they have to go to the Supreme Court for a decision?
But what about Channel 9? I'm not bagging 9 here, but they're head of the queue. They've sent their best people over to America.
Oh, gosh.
They're putting more resources into the American election than the Australian election. I don't know if 7 and 10, or I don't know what they're doing, but I just know Laurie Oakes.
They will have correspondence over there, sure.
Carl Stefanovic over there.
What's the latest scores on the doors, if you like?
Scores on the doors?
Clinton 4 points ahead,
How about this? And this is the last we'll speak about it tonight.
Yeah.
Already there are votes in because of pre-polling.
Yes, pre-polling.
And normally with Australia, you don't know who voted until election night. They get counted the same night as the votes on the day. But in Florida, 40 million votes have already been counted in America. In Florida, whatever the number is, have already been released.
Wow.
It's very close.
That is superb.
But I think it starts at about 2 o'clock tomorrow our time.
In the afternoon.
Something like that.
All right, no problem.
So there we go.
All right, Dan.
That's our election coverage for this evening.
Okay.
What do you make of Ben Barber?
It's a situation I know. And those who are listening who don't know about my situation, I stopped my career because I was found positive with cocaine in my system. Although mine was the first time ever in 18 tests, and the equivalent in my system was the equivalent of something like 44 coffees, regardless. So I've been through that experience. It's a terrible experience.
Ben hasn't disputed this, by the way. He's obviously asked for the release, which Cronulla granted.
Although there are I find similarities, like I said, because when I heard the news, obviously I started thinking about what happened to me. Obviously, it's different in the fact that this is his second strike.
Yeah.
And people that I've read and so forth, I mean, we don't really know until we speak to Ben, have alluded to the fact that he's got problems off the park. At the time when I was found positive, that was completely different. I didn't have any problems off the. Well, I did have one problem off the park, which is the girl that I was with who had a massive problem. But so, from a sportsman's perspective, it's a very, very lonely time and a dangerous time. So when I was found guilty, and then when I was subsequently found completely guilty, first strike, by the way, by the FA and by the Premier League. I went on a downward spiral then. Then I was like, you know what?
So it was post this period that it went downhill
completely. And I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want any help from anyone. I was like, you know what? You know, Sodge is all. You know, this is like basically something minimal in the first time in 18 tests. If you think that I'm doing that, then sort of I basically put my head in the sand like a what's it called? Not an emu,
ostrich.
Ostrich. Yeah, exactly. Which is the wrong thing to do. So this is the time that he needs watching, and to make sure that whatever the problems that they are, which are leading him to go and do this, if there are problems. Or it might be that they have to get to the bottom. It might be just something that he likes to do to let off steam. But they need to get to the bottom of it to find out why he is taking it.
Now, he's broken the rules, which he's admitted. Mm. So you can't sort of excuse that behaviour. Mm. But I'm going to ask you in general, should players be tested for recreational drugs?
That's a big, big call. That's a massive question, Dan. You know what? We could actually ask this question on on a political show too, really.
Well, I think employer is entitled because the employer is entitled to have their athlete perform at 100%. I've never understood why a sporting body has any right to know whether a player is on recreational drugs.
Question, isn't it? What's worse, performance-enhancing drugs or something like that? But I would say the bottom line is if something is being found illegal in society, then, unfortunately, I'm sorry, but the society rules do, for me, and override everything, even though you are a footballer or you are a rugby
player. That's right. And if you, whether you think, you know, recreational shouldn't be tested, they are the rules and they've been broken.
That's all. So I think you got to think to yourself as well, because sponsorship plays a huge part over here. So, for example, if you turn around and said, okay, we'll leave it to the individual club. So what about if some club turned around and said, okay, well, we're not going to test for recreational drugs because, in our opinion, what's the difference between that and alcohol? But then what about sponsors? Do sponsors really want to have their name then associated with that club, knowing that some of their players could be doing cocaine?
And you're right, one is illegal, one's not.
Or whatever. So it's a real touchy subject, because a lot of people turn around and say, well, what's it got to do with what somebody does in their private time? But if it is illegal, it's illegal, and that's until the laws change like that. I do believe the club reserves the right to make it illegal for their players.
133-353. If you want to have your say, he has been suspended for 12 weeks now. Because he has requested and been granted a release, that suspension doesn't kick in until he starts. If he starts with a new club,
right?
So when a new club
comes in,
they've got to wear those 12 weeks.
I'm telling you, like I said to you, from my own personal experience, all right, because then when I realised what was going on around me, then I did have...
How old were you?
30.
And he's 27.
Yeah, okay, so when I say personal problems, not in terms of the fact of my past, but because of what was going on around me, because these people wanted to basically hurt me and blackmail me, so then I did have problems. So I didn't want to go to another club. I didn't, I had millions of clubs come to me and say, come on, we'll take you, because originally... my suspension was for 9 months.
So that's, you had offers?
Yes, but yeah. I was, because you're in that state where it's like, you know what, you want to sort out what's going on around you, like the ostrich. I was like, no. Yeah. I remember going down to see Harry Redknapp at Portsmouth, and then going down there for the day and seeing an old teammate, Teddy Sheringham, who was there, and then just turning around after half an hour and saying, Harry, I can't do this. I'm going to let you down and myself down, and then getting the train back to London. So it's not a good time right at this moment in time. And the most important thing, like I said, is that people around who genuinely care about him, I've really got to sit him down privately and just say, look, buddy, what is it? I mean, you don't know. He, like I said to you, this might be his, like, his alcohol sort of thing. You know, some people celebrate with alcohol, but it might also be that he's escaping from something which is really giving him pain.
This is what Lyle Gorman, the Sharks CEO, said this morning.
So Thursday the 6th, 4 days after the grand final, our NRL squad was tested under the NRL illicit and hazardous drugs policy, which is fairly typical after a major game or at the end of the season. On the 21st of October, the player was advised through us, through the integrity unit, that he'd recorded a positive test in contravention of that policy to cocaine, which has been announced this morning, as you would have seen. So obviously the player had until tonight to make a decision on whether he wished to appeal the proposed sanction, which has been made clear today. Under a second contravention of that policy, it's a minimum, it's a mandatory 12 match suspension. It invokes a fine that was carried over from the first contravention in early 2015, and it provides other options on the club, or other sanctions on the club, to address and apply further sanctions. Last Friday, we were approached by the player and his management, advising us that Ben wished to seek a release from his contract, to step outside the game, to go away and focus on his own matters and his own issues, his own personal issues. The player is currently offshore with our head of welfare in a centre undergoing an intensive program that is aimed at and hoped will help him start to address the personal issues that are so relevant to him and his ongoing future. Not sure how long that program will take, at all, but we will continue as a club to fully support him in every way we can. There's no one more disappointed than me on a personal basis. I've spent a lot of time with Benny, become very close to him, and to say that I'm personally distressed about this outcome would be an understatement. I think he's made a poor choice on a poor day. Whether he's got carried away with the celebrations, don't know the exact circumstances of when this occurred, but obviously a poor choice.
Are you able to say whether any other player tested after the grand final, 4 days after the grand final, have tested positive?
We're not aware of any players who have tested positive since then. We've been advised by the NRL that no other player has tested positive during that period. Honestly, I mean, to think that Ben's not in a clearly distressed state would be also an understatement. He has massive issues to confront on a personal basis. He's put his hand up and acknowledged those. It's him and his management who have requested the release. He feels he needs to get out of the environment, the professional environment, to fully focus on himself. And the quote you saw today in the release is his quote, where he says very clearly it was almost a monkey off his back to be able to make that decision and go away and probably for the first time for a long time put himself first.
I've just seen Erie spoken to Seven News, Barber, so we'll play that a little bit later on.
There you go. That pretty much explained quite a lot. Well done to Lyle Gorman as well. Obviously a difficult circumstance.
Well, the first question I had was, did any other players test positive
for
a first strike? And he very clearly said no.
No, he didn't. And also, there was also, like I said to you, the question before was it for celebration reasons or was it for deeper
addiction
problems? And deeper problems. Like, because cocaine is a drug mainly you take to escape from things, okay, for whatever it is. So it sort of numbs the pain, if you like. So basically, if you're going through a bad time with something, and it's not as if you're taking it for pleasure, you're just taking it because you want to forget about something completely. So he touched on that more, the fact that it might be, the pendulum might be swinging towards that side rather than celebratory, because the things he was saying, how he's got to deal with serious issues and so forth. And he did reiterate what I said as well, that he just wants to get out of, like at that moment in time, you just want to get out of and don't want to be anywhere near the public because you know you're going to let yourself and that whoever you're around down.
All right, we'll play what Barber said a little later. This is the Rush Hour on Triple M.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
All right, let's take some calls here, Boz, before we move on regarding Ben Barber. Kim has called up 133353. Hello, Kim.
Yeah, how you going, mate?
Good, mate. What's doing? What do you have to say?
Mate, look, I think his player welfare is very important, and that's paramount. But what I don't quite understand is that after they take a bit of time off and they do come back, more often than not, they end up in the English Super League where they're making double and triple the amount of money that they're making in the NRL. So that sort of side of it I don't quite understand. But it's professional sport, and I guess that's just how it plays out.
Yeah, I, in terms of making the money, I hope people...
I don't think the money's as good these days.
I don't know, but I don't want... The way Kim's saying is, like, don't see it as some type of reward. That'll just be because of over there, because of the way the wages are, supply and demand, and because it is a higher standard of living, that's all.
But money's not as good over there as it used to be.
And also, there's quality of life too. And remember, the top league in the world is here. So going to England, what I've noticed since I've been back in the country anyway, going to England as a rugby league player is kind of like either you've got problems or you need to regroup or... And that's no disrespect to the English league, but it's just the way it is right at this minute in time. So
It's used as a soft landing.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Let's go to Penrith, where Sean, you got an opinion, you got a theory here.
Not so much a theory. I'm just wondering why he has to go to Thailand to a rehab centre when there's reputable rehab centres here in Australia. Why do all these football players have to rush off to Thailand?
I think it's a matter of getting away.
I think it's escaping it's gotta be. The media,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, getting away. That's what I'm saying to you. Being in the
because I'm with you, Sean. It does seem
peculiar.
Yes. Nah. You know, nah. Thailand all of a sudden is the recovery place du jour. You know, everyone, you know, that the great elixir is there.
Yeah. But I can understand exactly what Sean, I think it was saying as well. I would assume that Australia has some of the best places in the world here to deal with those type of issues. But I think it will come down to what you just said about getting away completely from the press, i.e. and so forth.
And Michael from the Central Coast said he got what he deserved. It is an illegal drug. So, and that's the thing. No one's I'm of the opinion, Boz, this is one person's opinion, that you shouldn't be tested for recreational drugs. Right. The club should because they are the employer. I don't think a governing body should. But that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But the rules are in place, and he broke them.
Yeah,
so there's no...
Bottom line. That's
and he already
line,
had a strike, so it's very hard to justify.
Yeah, very true. Good point, Dan.
All right, let's do this.
Now, on the Rush Hour. Oh! When commentators lose their
Met de balbezit voor Frank de Boer. Frank de Boer speelt de bal. Heel goed naar Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp neemt de bal aan. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Frank de Boer speelt de bal naar Dennis Bergkamp. Die neemt de bal feilloos aan. En die schiet de bal erin. Dennis Bergkamp. 2-1.
Sports update
next.
That was great.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments, and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Triple M Rush Hour. Getting you home on a, what's today? Tuesday.
Tuesday.
With the very energetic Mark Bosnich.
I am. In view of today's news about Ben Barber, I was actually going to say something about what I'll be watching on Netflix, but I think I'll leave it for next time.
No, you're watching the Escobar show.
Last time I told you Narcos. No, this time I found another one called Pablo Escobar El Padron El Al. That's the best one. That's outstanding.
I'm not disputing that.
Pablo Emilio Escobar Garcia.
But there was a movie on a couple of months ago, The Infiltrator, Bryan Cranston. I love Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad.
Okay.
And I was so excited about this movie, but then, you know what? I've seen this movie 100 times. It was Blow. It was Donnie Brasco.
Okay.
Escobar stories can there be?
Well, I'm just telling you. I told you about Narcos, so I wanted to...
I'll pick one or the other.
The other one. Because the other one, I think the guy plays it, the Pablo Escobar El Padron El Al, I think the guy plays the part far better.
I think you just like saying that full name. I think that's...
You know what? After watching 74 episodes with the subtitles, I think I'm an expert at Spanish.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Live. Sports update.
No, scoochie means listen. So there you go. So scoochie, yeah, scoochie, everyone.
Christopher Walken said in The Simpsons. Yeah. Scooch, 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 scooch. You in the red.
Scoochie.
A third player from the Perth loss to South Africa will miss Hobart. Already Sean Marsh has been replaced by Joe Burns. Callum Ferguson is there. In fairness for the doubtful Adam Voges, I don't think it's certain Voges is gone, but Peter Siddle definitely is. He has a back problem.
See? I'm saying see.
So Joe Many is again on the edge of a test debut. In fact, he'll be there. Jackson Bird is drafted into the 12, but we all know Many is a better batsman than Bird, so that will get Many a start. That's a
test cricket, unfortunately, is not what it used to be, is it?
Now, Callum deserves his chance, but...
He does. I like Callum. We had him on Match Day Saturday once before. He was excellent. Really, really good.
But that bowling attack, you're going to have a tired Mitchell Starc because he's not match fit.
Mm.
Josh Hazlewood, Joe Many, and Nathan Lyon.
Time to rejig test cricket. I agree with Mark Taylor. Make it a four-day affair.
Well, how's that going to improve the Australian team?
Well, anything can be better than what it is right now.
I don't think that.
I think so.
I don't
remember in a lifetime when I've listened to you, whether it be live or in my car, talk about the Australian test team and an upcoming test with so much disinterest, because the whole thing needs rejigging. Big Bash is going to take over, but this test cricket needs rejigging or it's going to die. I'm just telling you.
You wouldn't say that if we had Warne, McGrath, Hayden, Gilchrist.
That generation.
Well, of course, that's a once in a lifetime. We can't keep looking at that and going, why can't we?
But they were great days as well with test cricket in general. But none of that, they were great days with test cricket in general. I don't think, and especially with kids, right? Kids are the future. All right, now if you ask the kid, would you come to a Big Bash or a test match, what's he going to choose? Not 9 times out of 10, 10 times out of 10. That's the future.
Did you say I believe the children are our future?
I love
with the Houston.
Seen the world.
Lost in the heat of the Ben Barber story is the sudden retirement of Danny Wicks. Wicks was in the early stages of a new deal, but pulled the pin 32 games into his comeback from a jail term. Meantime, Curtis Sirenin has been released by the Tigers. He will join Manly.
Oh, wow.
And according to Manny Pacquiao's promoter, Bob Arum, there's a 75% chance we'll see a Pacquiao-Mayweather rematch early next year.
Marvellous. Did you watch the fight on the weekend?
No, who's the fight? Oh, the Pacquiao fight. No, but he's a world champ again.
Yeah, he done well. He took a few. It took a few whacks. I'll tell you that. But he done well.
Okay, what would you rather see, Pacquiao Mayweather, or Green Mundine? I mean, okay, the quality is different. I get that, but in terms of just wanting to see a rivalry,
right now, this moment in time, I never saw the first Green Mundine fight. So I'd like to see the second one. So right now, I'd go Green Mundine. Yeah, there you go.
You're going to go to Adelaide?
Yeah. What day is it? This is in February.
It's football season.
Yeah, but what day would it be? Would it be on a Saturday, on a Sunday?
I think it's a Friday night.
Oh, if it's a Friday night, the Bozo can go.
Well, let's go.
Let's go, buddy.
We'll get the show from there.
Lucky I said Mundine Green, otherwise I wouldn't be getting ringside now, buddy.
This is the Rush Hour.
Feel the world.
No, that's feed the world, not feel the world, you idiot.
Oh, okay.
Rush Hour, news update next.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips, courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Triple M Rush Hour, we do it for Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps and expert tips from Best Bets. Gamble responsibly. Boz here with Dan on a Tuesday.
Right, Tuesday.
Let's talk a bit of football.
Yeah.
Can Sydney FC, can they keep this going? I mean, when I say keep it going, I mean...
I think they can.
Well, they're not going to stay undefeated forever.
No, you don't know. I mean, you know, Brisbane Roar went through that unbelievable record when they went undefeated for something like 36 games. I think that was encompassing two seasons, so you never quite know.
So are they that much better than the opposition?
No, they're
right
not
now?
At the moment. I wouldn't say that much better. They are better. I will give you that. I mean, let's be honest as well. They've yet to play Melbourne City. They've yet to play Brisbane Roar, who'll be coming up in 2 weeks' time. Tough game this week against Perth as well, at home. But they've been outstanding so far this season, and 5 points clear at the top of the table pretty much tells the story in itself. But like I said, they've got some big games coming up. So they've got Perth on Sunday at home. And then the following week, Brisbane away, which will be huge. And then I think the week after that is the FFA Cup final against Melbourne City. So that will be a huge game for them.
I see the Cahill factor is real when it comes to crowds at opposition games. They had 20,000 at Suncorp last Friday.
Massive,
that's
the only thing I will say. I mean, and this is obviously, I don't want to be in sort of, like I said to you, it's such a great moment and was great that he got 20,000. So I don't want to be sort of like splitting hairs, if you like. Don't you think that would have looked much better if it was at a 25,000-seater stadium? I think 20,000 people at a stadium that big, it doesn't look good. Put it that way.
No, this is rugby league's perennial problem.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So why not build small and grounds for yourself where you can keep the revenue for yourself and then take the big games to ANZ, take the big games to Allianz, take the big games to Suncorp Stadium.
Oh, I see. So in Queensland, perhaps... play at Ballymore
Yes. Or if you got, you know, if you have got big owners and you're talking about investments, what better way to invest your money? But basically, you're buying property and you're building a stadium, 25,000, 30,000 stadium, which can be used then for concerts and so forth and other stuff. But all the revenue from that goes to you. You don't pay no rent.
Yeah, that's true.
It goes directly to you. You know, you get everything from the ground. All the
costs a fair bit though to buy land and then build on top of it.
Well, it does, but I think there definitely is one solution to it.
Okay, how's the Wanderers going at their new home?
Yeah, you haven't asked what my solution is.
Well, okay, go on. What's your solution?
The federal government to tell the Bozo this is where the next mine's going to be. So to make me into, I reckon, just a billionaire should be fine.
So
I'll build the stadiums in, well, they don't need them in Melbourne. I'll build one in Sydney.
All right.
And I'll build one in Brisbane.
Where are you going to build one in Sydney?
Wherever you want, Dan. I'll actually come to you and say, where do you think? You know what? That's what we'll do. Because it's private, we'll actually say where we think is best for the people. So we'll go to the people. We'll have a poll here on Triple M. We'll have a poll on Fox Sports, and we'll go with the majority. How's that, buddy?
Okay, we're going to build it in Brisbane.
What will we call it?
The Triple MCG. I don't know.
The Johnny Warren Stadium. I reckon.
Hang on. Now you're going to want to make.
We'll have a stand called the Triple M stand.
Well, they call it the Johnny Warren stand, but if you're going to build your own stadium, you're going to attach a sponsor to it. It'll be the Ford Stadium.
Because we'll make so much money from that tip from the government, we won't need to.
Okay.
So we'll just call it that.
This is like when Homer dreamed that he was living with the under the sea. Liverpool.
Oh, outstanding. Another team.
Are they the team to beat?
Well, I think they are. I did an interview today with an old teammate of mine, Stan Collymore, who actually is working in America. So we talked about the same thing. There are four or five sides this season who I believe can win, which makes it great for the Premier League. But right in this moment in time, yes, fantastic win against Watford on the weekend, 6-1. Chelsea as well. That's one of the best performances I've seen from any team this season in the Premier League, their 5-0 win against Everton. Man City is suffering the same problem as they did last season. Won the first seven games, now all of a sudden had a bit of a rocky patch. Arsenal and Tottenham, they can all win it. So there's.
But you're not
teams.
Including Man U in that.
I'm not. I don't think Manchester United can win it. I think it's too early for them. I believe Jose Mourinho is the right man for the job. But any people saying, "Oh, we must look elsewhere," I think
he looks miserable.
He does. He does. But that's what pressure can do to you. And I believe he will get it right. He needs time, and they've got to realise that because they've been so sport for sex. because they've been so spoiled for success.
Enough. This is the Rush Hour over that, Triple M. Over that.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly. Sports update.
Former tennis star David Nalbandian has survived a rally car accident in Argentina where his car flipped several times.
Wow.
And the Sydney Kings have sole possession of top spot in the NBL thanks to a last-second winner last night against Cairns Taipans.
Oh, we should go watch that one night then.
We should.
Why not?
I think they've invited us.
Have they?
They always invite us on a Monday night where we're doing the show. So,
well, it doesn't matter.
We're off here in a couple of weeks.
The Bozo can go.
Yeah. It's all about you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Imagine me there on the front row. Get out of the game. God damn it.
Thank you, John Wayne. This is the Rush Hour on Triple M.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Yes, Rush Hour Triple M just about done for
after that
Tuesday.
Story about the boa constrictor when he goes, Mike's alive. I'm like, I think this might be a bit of a snake, buddy.
This is not television.
Just a little joke, buddy. Let's stay on for another hour, bugger it.
No, why not? I'm always tired at the end of a show with you.
Oh!
By the way, we promoted that Channel 7 had an interview with Ben Barber the day after he was caught taking cocaine. Yes, they interviewed him, but they didn't know. It was
normal.
So it wasn't as if they asked him about it because no one knew about it. Okay. So we're not going to play that. There's no need to. We're just about done, boys.
That's it, buddy. Everything else good?
Yeah.
Before we go, your tip, please, for the... next US president?
Clinton.
Yes.
It'll be closer than we think. I have a theory, though, that the television stations have bandied together like petrol companies do. They've all bandied together for the last week to pump it up as being really close.
Okay.
Therefore,
well,
we're all going to watch.
Well, there was that poll, that had Trump ahead.
Yeah, well, how convenient.
The week before they had
Trump ahead. He does, but that's what pressure can do to you. And I believe he will get it right. He needs time, and they've got to realise that because they've been so spoiled for sex.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.